Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday presented by Blake Street Tavern. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos.
Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac is presented by Ted's Montana Grill.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Great win by the Broncos. Outstanding. Everybody is in a great mood. And it has some significant ramifications in terms of job security, that's for sure. I think we were looking at a situation where jobs were on the line. In fact, we just saw it as the Cardinals have dismissed Mike McCoy. So Mike made it till November for the Broncos, November 20th, and he tapped out before October 20th this time. So best of luck to Mike in the future. Well,
before we get going any further, let me ask you this. Yesterday I asked you, where does Mike McCoy go after being fired? I mean, only because we are familiar with Mike McCoy do we bring this up. Where can he go now as a coach in this league?
Well, I believe Glendale Christian Academy out here in the suburbs may have an opening. And it's a private school, kind of like Valor.
You got to be
kidding
me, man.
I mean, they could offer him a couple of bucks more than just, you know, he doesn't have to be a social studies teacher. I don't know where he goes next. I mean, he goes home to his family in San Diego, and he tries to regroup, and he probably comes back as
a... Is he done working in the NFL? Probably,
I think he could come back as a quarterbacks coach. But
who
I don't.
Who else would ever trust him as a coordinator?
As a coordinator, I don't think anybody. But I think he.
Well, how far down the line does it have to be before he gets another shot to be a coordinator?
A couple of years. I think you'd have to work your way back up. Yeah.
So 2 years
forever.
From now.
Ever.
That happens. I mean, Rick Dennison was an offensive coordinator, and he's an offensive line coach again. It happens. You know, he wouldn't be the first one. So. I like Mike as a person.
Who doesn't?
He's a good dude, but nobody has any sympathy. They're laughing about it here, by the way. I mean, it's like a joke around here. I mean, nobody's like,
I can't believe they got
anything.
To. I can't believe they got to it so fast. I mean, when I was seeing it in Denver, it took a long time.
No, I mean, there were signs in the stands, fire McCoy. I mean,
it took
was
a long
like,
time. November, dude. I mean, November is a long time.
It was obvious. And you know, I was talking to some of the Arizona folks down here, including the guys who are on the broadcast, and I said, well, what's the relationship between Wilkes and McCoy? Because, you know, there was an impression last year in Denver that Mike McCoy was the real head coach, and they go, oh yeah, same thing down here. I'm like, okay, well, should have saw that coming. You know,
sounds like management or ownership is stepping in and, you know, making these calls, because there's no way that Wilkes can, you know, after what happened last year with VJ.
Oh, this had nothing to do with Wilkes. This was the general manager, Kine, having to, you know. By the way, he's had a rocky year. Did you read up on him a little bit?
No. He had a great draft pick in the quarterback.
Yeah, he had a DUI issue.
I did see that.
Things are, you know, not smooth for him. So we'll see what happens to the Cardinals. Who cares, frankly?
I know I don't.
They've got.
You can talk about that. I don't care about. Yeah,
I'm done with them.
I was just bringing up Mike.
I'm on to Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm on to Kansas City too.
But what's more compelling from a Broncos perspective is what this means for the coaching staff. Okay, let's break it down. Hey, listen, man, if you beat Kansas City. I mean, we are talking, we're full bore, how do we make it to the playoffs? That's what happens if you beat Kansas City. Nobody's expecting the Broncos to beat Kansas City. So, if they don't, I don't think anybody's going to sweat it that much. Then you get to a big game, that Houston game before the bye. That's a big game. You know, I'm not going to say it's a Super Bowl, because I don't think jobs will be on the line. But if you can figure out how to play like you did last night against Houston.
If you played like that all year, D-Mac, this team would have no losses.
Well, if you go into the bye 4-5, then I don't think anybody's going to get fired this year.
Why are we still talking about firing after such a terrific win? Is that
narrative
still out
there? Because that's what we're talking about.
Is it still out there? I mean, who still believes that?
That's what I'm saying. I think we're done with that. That's my whole point here.
But we have 3 wins. But you said we had to get to 4 now.
No. You weren't listening. No.
You say if we get to 4-5, we're not talking about firing.
If you lose against Houston, Joe Woods, Vans is fine. There's no way
Vance Joseph is getting fired. So we're still talking about being, there's still opportunities to get fired if.
Not for Vance, not now, in my opinion. I mean, you would have to go on some sort of absurd, epic losing streak, and I just don't think it's going to happen. Look at the Broncos' schedule the rest of the year. It's really kind of interesting. You know, you did what you did here. Kansas City, let's just for the sake of argument, say that's a loss, okay?
No sleep for the weary.
Houston, it's got to be a win, right?
I think all of them should be wins.
Oh, come on.
D-Mac, you
so we can't really talk then, huh? We can't have a real conversation? Goodness.
How come we can't have a conversation about us beating the Kansas City Chiefs? Okay. Why is that so...
That's cool. That's good.
I'm just saying, but why is that such a
It just helps me where I can go and where I can't go. So everything's cool. What do you think? What do you think for the rest of the year? Break it down for me.
Well, I'm really disappointed that this team didn't get off to a better start. You know, we played against two rookies. We beat one. We lost to the other. That's a problem. That changes the entire season. We haven't played one of the best offenses in the NFL yet in the Chargers. Now, I don't know how that thing is going to work out between the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the Chargers may beat them. You know, so Kansas City may come back to the pack. You know, if they go 4-2, now do you look at the mighty Kansas City Chiefs as an unbeatable game? I don't know. This is how this league works. It works in cycles, and you get a team that's hot.
No, the Chiefs are not an unbeatable game, but it's really, really difficult. It's nothing.
Of course
you should,
it is.
It's nothing you should count on.
But if you play with an inspired effort, man, it can happen.
We needed to count on beating the Cardinals.
We needed to beat the Jets.
The Jets weren't as bad as the Cardinals, Al.
The Jets were as bad. They were as bad.
Oh, my God. Okay, keep going.
So we needed to beat the Jets.
Okay.
And then, you know, I didn't see the Cardinals being as – I mean, excuse me. I didn't see the Chiefs being as hot as they were early in the year. I did not see that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a big game on Monday night. We lost. But there are things that you can take from that, and most of it is just effort, man. It's just effort. You play big.
What's your prognosis for the rest of the year? I was going down that road, and you kind of called me out. What do you think? That's where I was going.
8-8, 9-7.
Oh, 8-8. So what are the games we're losing?
I don't know.
Because we're 3-4 now, so you got us losing 4 more games. What are they?
I don't know.
Well, you tell me, because I brought up a game that made sense.
Until we get in the game week. What happens if Patrick Mahomes goes down this weekend? I can't tell you about next week until we get to next week.
Right, so you and I have the same exact opinion. We both think the Broncos right now are basically
Everybody stays healthy on all the teams.
We think the Broncos are just an 8-8 team. It's just I'm willing to really look at it, and you want to, like, I don't know. I don't know what you want to do.
I want to win every week.
Right. So
You don't have to.
But you still have them at 8-8, right? Or do you think they're going to win all the games the rest of the year? Do you think we're going to go 12-4?
No, I haven't.
Do you think we're going to win 9 games in a row?
I said we're going to be 10-6, but you know, we lost to a team that we shouldn't have lost to in the Jets, man. We shouldn't have lost that game.
All right. Listen, I'm 9-7, 8-8 now. Okay, but what? All right.
I don't know, but I'll let you know when the week gets there.
Not the Kansas City Chiefs.
I can't tell you who we're winning and losing against right now.
Then why don't you just say we're going to win the rest of the games, win 9 in a row?
Okay, I like that. We're going 9 in a row.
All right. So here we are. So now I know how to do this.
What do you mean?
We're going to win 9 in a row. Because anytime I bring up some sort of negative,
we don't know what's going to happen.
You're telling me that I'm wrong.
I can't tell you about the game week until we get to the game week.
You think the Broncos could win every single game the rest of the year? So any talk about firing a coach for any reason is preposterous.
Let me see when do we play the Patriots in the first round or second round in the playoffs?
I'm telling you this. VJ is safe through the bye.
Joe
Woods is still got his neck on the chopping block.
Let me see.
Looking better.
What round do we play the Patriots in Foxborough? Let me just take a look at our
schedule. Playoffs?
In the playoffs.
Well, for 12-4, I mean, let's break it down. We're 12-4, and obviously the Chiefs are collapsing. So we've won the AFC West. We have a bye week. the Patriots finish. You know, they're not going to be. We're going to be.
Maybe we
hosting.
Go 11-5. Call it 11-5.
No, no, no. Maybe we lose one more game.
Maybe we lose one more game.
Why so negative? We beat the Cardinals on the road. We're going to win 9 games in a row,
and we'll
host the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
Well, then we may lose in the AFC Championship.
No, I'm not going to hear it. No way. You're not bringing me down. Don't. You got us not going to the Super Bowl this year? Are you nuts?
Case Keenum is good for getting you to the AFC Championship game. I didn't say anything about getting to the Super Bowl.
If Nick Foles can win a Super Bowl MVP, so can Case Keenum.
We can beat the Chiefs. We can beat the Texans, the Chargers, the Steelers. I mean, still, Le'Veon Bell is not going to be back.
He's terrible. Forget him. Cincinnati, Le'Veon. That's easy. San Diego, that's we only have to play them
I'm
twice.
Telling you, man, we could run the table. We could run the table. We can run the table with that kind of effort.
See, this is what happens when you beat one of the worst teams in the NFL by a million points. I'm just talking to somebody over here. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll get to your calls. Hopefully everybody's...
Should have beat the Rams. Should have beat the Chiefs.
Sure.
And we have so much more talent than the Jets.
I mean, look at Case Keenum. We should be undefeated. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Alan D-Mac.
The injury update from the football game. Royce Freeman, sorry, with an ankle. He's day-to-day. He's still being evaluated there. Hopefully he makes it to KC. Deshaun Hamilton with a knee. Also day-to-day. Darren Stewart with a neck. Darren's had his third stinger in 3 weeks, so we'll see about that. And Emmanuel Sanders is okay. His ankle's fine. So that's the fourth one in the game.
What do you say, Darren or Darian?
Darian.
Did you say like, Darren? Is that a little like Darren?
Okay.
I mean,
also day-to-day, Darren Stewart with a neck.
I mean, I think I'm in BJ's head a little bit. I mean, Oh, yeah, again, Big Sexy. It's not like Darren to me.
Also day-to-day, Darren Stewart with a neck.
That's Darren. That's Darren. That's not Darren. Trust me. I'll just let you know, I'm 5 weeks away from my ACL surgery, and I can barely do anything. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Let's go to Thomas.
I'd like to introduce you to the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Case Keenum. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Also day-to-day, Darren Stewart with a neck.
Darian. Wait a minute.
That was not also, Darian, man.
Also day-to-day.
Also day-to-day, Darren Stewart with a neck.
Darren McKee.
Day-to-day. Dude, I'm segment day-to-day. To segment. I'm just trying to get through the day. Talking day-to-day, minute-to-minute.
D-Mac, the rash that he has that's right. Unidentified.
Thank you, Peyton. Let's go to, by the way, after 4:30, we got to ask the question. Should the Broncos have drafted Josh Rosen, or was it the right move to get Bradley Chubb? We'll revisit that classic question coming up after 4:30, and that's where the Mike Evans is a trip, and we'll get into all of it after 4:30. Thomas, you're on the Fan. Hi, Thomas.
What's up, Thomas?
How you guys doing?
Super. Super.
I should have known you were going to do that.
Right, well, we do it every time. I just assume people want us to do that at this point, but, you know. Go ahead, what you got?
I
got
to figure it out. McCoy doesn't have to move. We're going to win, like, 2 more games the rest of the year. The Sun Devils, he can just be an offensive coordinator next year.
Wow! Oh, my God. By the way, thank you, Thomas. Herm Edwards. The shine is off, the bloom is off that rose a little bit. They're in a one-score game with Stanford. What a horrible day, by the way, for the Arizona sport fans down here, aside from the Suns. But here you are. It's a one-score game against Stanford. I spoke to my son. Nobody showed up for that game last night, by the way. It's a one-score game against a top-10 team.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe because the Cardinals were playing. Yeah, okay. Maybe. And they got the ball on like the 24-yard line, and there's like 24 seconds. They've got N'Keal Harry, which, okay, Laviska Shenault is better than. Let me just go there. But you still got N'Keal Harry, who could be a overall top 10 pick. You got 24 seconds or something. You throw the ball in the end zone three times, and if the dude catches it, good. If he doesn't, oh, well, you lose. This was unbelievable, Al. Herm Edwards throws a dump down pass.
It wasn't Herm who called the play.
Okay.
But he was a managing.
Yeah.
He was a managing coach of record.
He throws a dump down play.
But you know that's not what a head coach would have called.
Dump down play for 6 yards with no timeouts and the clock runs out. I was like, sometimes things happen in sports where you just, did I just see that? I mean, did that just happen? Never mind. Nobody cares about ASU, but.
But it just goes to show you.
You said Herm
Edwards, even though he didn't coordinate that play.
The coach has got a man.
He's a head coach of record, so you call it Herm Edwards. Okay.
Okay. Who should the mess lie on?
The offensive coordinator who called that play just didn't
then
do a good
job. Mike McCoy should, maybe he qualifies for that job, because that guy's a moron. I don't even know who it is.
True.
But, I mean, you have got to be kidding me. Let's go to Christine. Hi, Christine. You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Super.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to see them finally playing players to their strengths. And it's like we actually have talent out there. And we've been doubting it all this time. Now, we only had like 4 days to get ready for this game. So do you think that 10 days to get ready for the next game is going to make the coaches overcoach this?
That's a good question,
Christine. That's a really good question. Will they overthink it since there are so many days to prepare for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Gosh, that's a good question.
Most coaches love to draw plays up and put new plays in when they have time.
Very quick story. Jay Leno. Remember Jay Leno? So at one point, they were going to give him a weekly show, not be on the air every night. And he said he didn't want to do that. Why? Because he said he would exhaust himself writing jokes up to the last minute. And there was something about a deadline that no matter what, you were done. And having a nightly show forced him to be in some sort of pattern where, you know, we've done the best we could. You know, that's it. Put your pencils down. It's time to do a show. But he said that if he was just working once a week, all he would be doing is grinding away the entire week.
Yeah.
I thought it's a fascinating story about how to prepare and get things done in the appropriate amount of time. Christine, you bring up a great point. Because what do NFL coaches do? They just grind away.
That's right.
They keep over and over again.
They find a new way to, you know, trick the defense.
Right.
A new way to trick the offense.
And here you had a very short period of time. You got some good motivation by
Vaughn. These were all plays that we had since we put them in training camp, and we're just going to run them.
Right. You're moving Case Keesum around a little bit. You're using plays.
I just can't let you ride with that day, man. I mean.
I tried to do it without even pausing, but you still picked it up.
Chase Keesum.
You ran more play action. Play action boot roll. Play action boot roll a couple times last night. Wide open. You told Garrett Bowles to not hold anybody. And
he did a good job of not doing that.
Yeah, and you moved Case around so you didn't have to worry about it. I don't want to be too insulting. And then Case Keenum on a 3rd and 11, even though the score was out of hand, makes a great throw to Demaryius.
All right, man.
And Emmanuel Sanders does not over.
I don't know.
Emmanuel Sanders tried to overthrow Cortland Sutton, but he couldn't do it.
Oh, can you overthink it with too many days? Coaches seem to do that.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll ask the question, the ultimate question. Bradley Chubb or Josh Rosen, that's next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Big Al and T-Mac.
Rosen to throw. Four-man pressure. Out of the gun. He's in trouble and he's sacked. It's Bradley Chubb, his second sack of the night. This one a loss of 9. And Rosen is down.
There you go. That's the moment. Did the Broncos get it right or did they get it wrong? Listening to the Khaki Pants Morning Show, spearheaded by Mike Evans, who, with his invigorated cow valve heart, is actually rooting, admitted, he's actually rooting against all the quarterbacks to prove the Bradley Chubb selection was correct. Alfred, you have said, D-Mac, you were right. We should have got Josh Rosen.
No doubt about that.
You said it multiple times. Before I ask you the question, and I definitely want to get your opinion.
But go ahead.
Do you remember who Andre Wadsworth was?
Oh, yeah, defensive end from Florida State.
There you go. What do you remember about Andre Wadsworth?
Oh, he was a big-time talent, four-handed. He was a four-point stance defensive end, Florida State.
Okay. He was drafted third in 1998.
Okay.
There was big talk that he should be, or at least he thought he should be, the number one overall guy. In fact, he had an extended holdout because this is
with who?
With the Cardinals, because he thought he should get number one money. This was before. This is 1998, before everything was slotted.
Like bargaining agreement.
So it was kind of crazy back in those days. Well, who was the number one overall pick in 1998? Should be an easy question, right? Everybody knows it was Peyton Manning.
Right. Andre Wadsworth, okay.
And Ryan Leaf was number two. Now, Peyton Manning is obviously Peyton Manning, a Hall of Famer. And Ryan Leaf was a total bust, you know, for his own reasons. So to say that the draft is just a crapshoot is foolish. It's silly. You may get it wrong, but it's definitely not a crapshoot. Andre Wadsworth looked as good as anybody coming out of the draft, right, Al? I mean, he was a stud. He only had a three-year NFL career. He was
23, by the way, when he got to the NFL.
There you go.
In his first year, he was 24. So he was a lot older than those kids he was beating up on in college.
The other defensive ends who both went after him were Grant Wistrom.
Yeah, that guy was a great player in Nebraska.
Played for like 9 years.
He was a great player.
And Greg Ellis.
From the Cowboys.
From the Cowboys, who played like 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So both really good players. Wadsworth played the least out of all of them, but they were solid players. However,
okay, go ahead.
None of them are Hall of Famers. None of them are potential Hall of Famers. None of them influence games as much as a quarterback could influence games. Solid. One of them, Wadsworth, turned out to be a bit of a bust, I suppose. But, Alfred, what is more likely to happen? One of the quarterbacks from this year's draft goes on to be a Hall of Famer. Or Bradley Chubb goes on to be a Hall of Famer. And if that's the case, aren't you, if you need a quarterback, doing yourself and your organization a disservice if you don't at least try? Now, let me point something else out. In this particular draft, do you know who was drafted after Ryan Leaf? Who the third quarterback of that draft was? Boy, I'll be unbelievably impressed if you actually know that.
That was the year 1998, third quarterback.
If you know this, I'll be blown away.
Was it, I don't.
You shouldn't. Second round, 60th overall pick, Charlie Batch.
Okay.
Charlie had a great, solid NFL career.
He just finished like 2 years ago.
Right.
A year and a half, 2 years ago.
Solid. But sometimes there are drafts like that. Guess what? Next year's draft, 2019 draft, it's going to be like this draft. There's like two dudes, and then there's Charlie Batch. And you go from there. So the question I'd put out there for you, because obviously you see where I'm going here and where I stand, no matter what happened on that field last night, and no matter what the situation is, and let me point out, in Peyton Manning's third start, Alfred, Peyton Manning's third start, he, quarterbacking the Colts, lost to the Jets 44-6. Just like Josh Rosen in his fourth start, just got his butt whipped.
A nice little history lesson you're giving here, but why?
Because to make a summary judgment like Mike Evans did this morning and to just simply say and to be so cavalier about the fact that I was right and you were wrong, Bradley Chubb was the right pick for the Broncos and the Broncos got it right based off last night?
That's a dumb statement.
Is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
There's no way Mike said that.
That's what Mike and Mark were talking about
this morning. There's no way.
That's what they were saying.
Co-signed that. There's no way in the world Stink co-signed
that. Stink kind of hesitantly went along with it because I think he was tired and looking at beautiful waves out of Miami because he's out there in Fort Lauderdale right now.
Oh, getting ready to call it.
That's right. But Mike was pushing that agenda. I'm not saying Bradley Chubb. Listen, man, if you have a career like Greg Ellis, you play for 11 years. You're a multiple Pro Bowl player, and you mm-hmm. play on championship teams. Hey, man, sign me up, right? Sign me up. Sounds good. It's more likely that, you know, Bradley Chubb could aspire to a career like that. That would be amazing. But look at Peyton Manning. And you got to draft a quarterback to have a chance at somebody like Peyton Manning if you need one. And the Broncos, and I don't know if Josh Rosen is going to have that career, but I'm not writing him off, are you? And nor am I really rooting for Josh Rosen.
I mean, we're talking about a guy who has been poorly coached.
Poorly coached.
Poorly coached so bad that the coordinator was fired in, what is this, October? The second weekend in October, the coordinator was fired.
Now, if you surround a good player with bad players, you could have an Archie Manning-like NFL career. That can happen.
Who said that Archie was good?
Well, Archie was a stud in college, and I think
he was good in the NFL, though?
Nobody really.
Don't make that assumption. Don't think because he was good in college, he had a crappy team around him. Most great players at the quarterback position can get the team better.
Okay. I don't mean to argue that point. If you think Archie wasn't a good player, fine.
In the NFL.
I think he was surrounded by crappy teams.
Listen.
That's fine. There was no free agency back then. It was a whole different deal. If you were on a crappy team back in the day, you were trapped.
Give me a great quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback that was on a crappy team.
Brett Favre was on the Falcons, and they were crappy.
No, they weren't.
Okay, I don't know, Al. My point is just to ask you a question.
My point is to say that when you are a great quarterback, when you're a great quarterback, there's no such thing as having a crappy team.
Are you giving up on Josh Rosen?
No way!
Did the Broncos do the right thing by taking Chubb over Rosen?
I think they did not, because I look at Case Keenum as through this lens.
Right.
We're talking about this lens.
That's right.
We have the only quarterback in the NFL that was undrafted. And most other teams, I think we counted of the 32 teams, every other team besides, I think, three had quarterbacks, or call it four, had quarterbacks that were drafted in the first or second round.
You know, there were some people who were bummed that the Broncos won last night.
Why?
I'll tell you why. It's fascinating why, and I'll tell you why next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, game day's favorite light lager. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Oh, by the way, I did reach out to give you some credit. I'll give you credit when credit's due. I reached out to somebody. I don't want to rat them out, but they were on the Broncos plane. And I said, did any of the players not return on the plane because they don't have to practice until Monday? And the response was, don't know, but wouldn't be unusual. So, okay. I'm sorry to even doubt you on everything.
That's just an easy NFL deal. You know, that's an easy NFL deal.
Okay. That, to me, just is amazing. But
why?
I don't know. It just feels like you should get on the team bus after a game. I don't know.
Because you're in high school?
I guess so.
No parents can give their kids a ride home.
Yeah.
You got to ride back on the team bus.
But wouldn't VJ say it like at the?
No, man. It just
like when. How would the word get out about it? Because
if the coach says see you Monday,
yeah.
Then you say, Coach, can I stay here? You say, sure, that's fine. That's fine.
So you would have to go to the coach and say, hey, yeah, I'm going to make different arrangements.
Otherwise, there's a security issue.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like everybody would be freaking out if you didn't find Von Miller.
But if it's see you Monday, you say to coach, hey, Coach, I'm.
Coach,
okay.
I'm gonna stay here and then get back on Sunday night. Okay.
Yeah,
make sure you're not late.
There's no player on the Broncos that couldn't get a puddle jumper to Vegas from Arizona. I'm sure there's a couple flights that were headed out this morning.
I mean,
it might have been tricky to get it last night, I suppose, after the game.
What
am I saying?
Fly all the time.
What
are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
We're only like
game was done at 8:30.
Like an hour and 45 minutes from Cabo, from right here.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? So it's no big deal. You just pop over there and you're in Cabo for the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's cool the way we are in the mountain time zone. The Pacific time zone stuff to me is the game's done before 9 o'clock. I mean, it's over. You know, it's comical. Okay. All right. Anyways, 303-713-1043. Why would somebody want the Broncos to lose? Why would a Broncos fan want to see them lose?
I don't improve draft position? That's the only thing I can think of.
No, I had, well, yeah, kind of, I guess. The person who put it out to me said, you know, I love the Broncos. I'm a huge Broncos fan, but I was really rooting for them to lose because the more they win, the more they're going to be committed to Case Keenum. And we'll
No. No matter what, they're going to move away from that.
Really?
Oh, they have to.
Huh.
They have to.
How do you see that?
No, I just think that what Case has shown you in these, what has it been, the first seven games, what he's shown you is that he hasn't grown into a Drew Brees-type quarterback.
What kind of game did he have last night?
Oh, it was average.
Average.
Yeah. I mean, he had a wide open Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was for a touchdown. But other than that, was it 14 for 21?
Yeah.
I mean, not a great night.
Okay.
The running game was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if he
would have threw the Broncos had under 300 total yards for the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I told you.
Total yards.
Yeah, I don't think that the pressure's off of Case Keenum because they won the game. I think that Case Keenum has to. He just has to.
All right, but let's think about this for a second. Let's think about it for a second.
He has to do things the right way all the time. Instead of, you know, it's
no.
It's,
but you gotta see what the guy on Twitter who was talking to me was saying. He was saying I wanted them to lose. I guess it is about draft position. You said earlier today, hey man, the Broncos are 8-8 no matter what. Maybe 9-7. Hopefully even better in the playoffs. That sort of thing, right? But let's just play the game that they're 8-8. They're 8-8. Where are they drafting?
Middle of the pack, 16.
If they're 8-8, is Chad Kelly getting on the field?
No.
No. So we don't know what he looks like.
No, but it doesn't matter. You're gonna draft a quarterback in the first round.
At 20? Where are you drafted?
Probably 15, 16.
Not at 8-8. You're gonna be better.
That's middle of the pack, dude.
You're gonna do better than that.
There's a lot of teams. Middle of the pack. 8-8 is middle of the pack.
Big Sexy, do me a favor. Look up last year's draft where 8-8 teams are drafting. Please, that take a little research. I appreciate it. Where do 8-8 teams end up, or 9-7 teams end up?
Middle of the pack, 16, right around 16.
I'm going to say a little deeper, but let's just, for the sake of argument, say 16. Now what are you going to do?
At 16?
Yeah.
You move up in the first round and go get your guy.
You're moving up.
Moving up.
Okay. Who's your guy?
You move up to get the best quarterback you can.
Who's that?
I don't know yet. I told you this last week. I haven't started my evaluation.
How many quarterbacks do you think will be in the top 10?
Top 10, too.
I do, too.
Hey, guys, real quick.
Yes.
Cowboys, Titans, Ravens, Chargers all finished 9-7. Lions finished 9-7. There were no 8-8 teams last year.
Okay.
What about 7-9?
We had Baltimore, who I think traded up. But we had, I'm sorry, Detroit. So 16, basically 15, 16, 17 is what.
All right, fine. So we're in the neighborhood. We'll just keep it there.
Next time,
so
just trust me.
You're at 16. You know where I'm going because I don't want to be 20. 20 in the 20s, 9-7 is actually kind of a nightmare.
But here's
I much prefer to be 8-8 and be 16 than be 9-7 and be 22. That's for sure. Yes, Brian.
Never mind. We're good.
Okay.
But no matter what, I mean, you know, they're going to be like three teams in the hunt for a quarterback this year. I think there would be the Broncos.
Okay.
I think there would be the Giants.
Yeah.
And I think there would be the Raiders.
Yeah.
Those are the three teams that I think that will be in the hunt for a first-round quarterback.
I'm just saying the talent's not there this year.
So if the talent's not there,
there's a bear out of ducks. Suck for duck. I heard that. That's just funny. Suck for duck.
Herbert.
Yeah.
Come or on. A bear.
Let's say a bear. A bear's a lot more fun to say.
I know, but I mean, you know, we're gonna get so many text messages from people. It's not a bear.
When did we care about people who texted us?
Okay, call them a bear, Dan.
Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043.
A bear. Yeah, a bear at Oregon.
A bear at Oregon. And Locke at Missouri?
Locke at Missouri.
Who else?
That's it.
I know.
Locke should have been a first-round draft pick last year.
The next guy is Finley out of North Carolina State, but he's a second-round guy.
Maybe he's a first-round guy.
Oh, boy, I don't know. Well, maybe anything can happen.
Maybe he's a first-round guy.
You're that convinced the Broncos are going to do that, huh?
Well, they have to get better at that position.
I just don't see John Elway being that guy.
Well, he's got to – you know what he can't do?
What in the world makes you think –
he can't get it wrong. He can't get it wrong. Yeah, Bottom line is that if he – I think if John Elway got the quarterback decision wrong again, he's gone. No, I think if he
– For the sake of argument, let's say
if
John –
he gets it wrong.
I just cannot imagine John Elway aggressively moving up for Drew Locke. I just – and you're not going to get Hebert, Herbert. He's going number one no matter what. The Giants, there's no way the Giants are going to pass on him, nor are they going to give
what
up their spot.
What is going on?
There's
with,
no way.
What's going on in there in New York, man? What I mean, see, this is why you don't pay idiots.
But hold on, before we get into New York, just walk down the Case Keenum path for me. So if John doesn't, just for the sake of argument, doesn't move up to get a quarterback, because it definitely is a scenario where he doesn't, a lot of scenarios where he doesn't, you're drafting a quarterback in the second round, right?
No. You just get him where he, then you get him where he falls.
Okay, whatever. You get him at some point.
Yeah, you're just getting the guy where he falls.
Okay. Finley would make sense then as a second-round guy.
I don't know, wherever they fall.
Well, that's where he's projected right now.
If he's got a second-round grade.
That's exactly where he's projected right now.
Wherever the grade takes you.
So now what? Now what are you doing? You got Case Keenum, and you got Ryan Finley. And you got Kevin Hogan, and you've got, Kelly.
What if Finley becomes, after the draft, after the workouts?
You don't see where I'm going here, do you?
No, you're not going to do what you're going to. I know what you're thinking, but you're not going to do that.
You're stuck. You're not stuck. You're
maybe
not
it's
stuck,
Clayton Thorson. Maybe it's Clayton Thorson from Northwestern.
Fine, whoever you're committed.
There may be four first round quarterbacks.
Oh my God, Al.
Jones from
Alfred,
Duke.
Alfred, for the sake of argument, if Elway's not taking a quarterback at five with all sorts of guys, for the sake of argument, can you at least for the sake of argument give me that he doesn't take a first round guy next year? Can you at least give me?
No, because I think you've learned a lot. You learned a lot.
You really think John Elway, who passed on a quarterback this last year,
learned about your quarterback that you have here?
Okay.
See, most
so
of
you
this,
think John Elway will give up on Case Keenum?
I think what he thought was Case Keenum would be good enough.
Hold on. Are you telling me here today?
I think Case Keenum is on a 2-year deal.
That John Elway has given up on Case Keenum.
No, I'm just telling you, I think it's a 2-year deal.
If you tell
it's
me
a
he's
a 2-year deal and he's not going to be re-signed for a 5-year, $100 million deal.
That means you think Elway's given up on Keenum.
I think that he is not the quarterback of the future of this team.
And you think John Elway feels like that, too?
I don't know what John Elway feels like. I'm just telling you, in my opinion, he's not the quarterback of the future of this team.
Well, I'll tell you this.
There's no way he can be.
If John feels like that, then okay, he'll probably grab a quarterback and probably overreach. And we saw what happened with Paxton Lynch.
It's not even about overreaching. It's about getting it right. Just get it right. It doesn't matter. See, if you just been the requisite draft capital that it takes to get your franchise quarterback,
uh-huh,
in the end, nobody cares what it costs you. If it was two first-round
draft
picks.
And you trust John Elway's quarterback evaluation skills?
No. No, I do not.
So what we had last night.
But
what
we had mean, last but that night. Doesn't mean that
what we had last
he can't
there was at least
do the thing that John Dorsey did and say to people that he trusts around the NFL, hey, man, I need a quarterback. What's your opinion about this guy? And put a panel out there privately to say.
That's what Dorsey did, yes.
That's what he did.
He got three independent guys to evaluate quarterbacks
for. Yeah, three independent guys to evaluate the quarterbacks and all the things that go along with playing quarterback, D-Mac, just like the, is he a smart guy?
You think John would do that?
I think going forward, individual evaluators will hold more weight than your own team scouts. Because
why do you think that will happen with John Elway?
Because here's what happens.
I love the fact you think John's going to be somebody has never been.
But you know what the individual...
And he's going to do something he's never done.
You know what the individual evaluator sees when he is looking at a player? Nothing except what the player does and the way the player interviews. You know what the guy who works for the team does? He's always tilted towards the draft profile of the guy that you say that you want. Hey, if we want a defensive lineman, we want him to be 6'5", okay? We want him to be 6'5". We want him to be 285. We want him to run under a sub 540.
So Case Keenum did nothing to change your opinion about Case Keenum last night?
Nothing. There's nothing he could have done on a 14 for 21 night unless he would have been outstanding in the pocket.
Okay.
And was he outstanding in the pocket? He was not.
All right.
He did not get better. He did not do anything different to me last night. But the defense was outstanding.
Okay.
The defense was out. The play calling.
You realize.
The play calling.
We are dangerously.
The play calling was over the top.
You realize we are dangerously close then to selecting another Paxton Lynch. You realize that, right?
I don't know if there's a Paxton Lynch. I'm just saying, you know, maybe there's a guy who you really love.
A non-top 10 quarterback.
Who said you were going to get a non-top 10 quarterback? Go get him. if he's your guy, nobody cares about. Nobody.
They weren't willing to move up a couple spots against Sam Darnold. And you think they're going to go from 16 or 17 to 7 or 8? Really?
Maybe they have their defensive end / outside linebacker. But whatever it is, you're not gonna miss again unless, you know, your guy just had a gruesome accident.
Dude, I'm gonna hold you to this. I'm just telling you right now,
Case Keenum is, you know, after seeing.
You're saying he's done.
No. What I'm telling you is that he's not our quarterback of the future. After seeing these young quarterbacks perform and throw the football all across the field, there is another level that we can get to.
All right, Mark Schlereth, he loved what Vaughn did for the team.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Vaughn Miller came out and he backed up what he said. He came out last week and he said, dude, we're going to Arizona and we're going to open a can on the Arizona Cardinals. We're going to whip that ass. And I'm telling you what, he went out and he backed it up. But more importantly, his whole team came up and backed it up. And this is the kind of catalytic event that can lead your team to great things. I don't know that that's going to happen. And I understand you people are like, well, it's the Arizona Cardinals. They're not a very good football team. But let me tell you, defensively, this is a team that competes. Defensively, this is the team that has come out there and played well in a handful of games. Last week against the Niners, they created 5 turnovers. That's the same team that almost beat Green Bay in Green Bay. Guys, so let me tell you, they're NFL players. They're paid to play at the highest level. And they went out there, and by Vaughn Miller saying that stuff, they went out there, they responded. And it just goes to show you, you can say whatever you want about the coaching staff, about Vance Joseph, about anything else, but this team rallied around their leader, Vaughn Miller. This team rallied around Vance Joseph. This team rallied around that coaching staff. Hey, credit Vaughn Miller, but credit this team for responding. And I, for one, think they're on the right track the next time in Kansas City when they put their cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans, Monday morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.